It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The trade deal that lives another day. I'm David Brancaccio in New York to Australia, where it is a red-letter day for a trans-Pacific trade deal minus the United States. The BBC's Phil Mercer is in Sydney.
The fact that Australia has now officially signed this means that it's all systems go and the deal should be up and running by the end of the year.
So it's more than just Australia. Wheels were set in motion by Australia becoming the sixth country to sign on.
Yes, that gave it a majority of the 11 members. When the United States pulled out last year, President Trump clearly not happy with details of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. There were concerns that the deal wouldn't survive, but the members decided to press ahead. And now we have a situation where come the end of the year, this tariff-busting deal will come into force.
So now the six are Australia, Japan, Singapore, and who else?
Mexico, New Zealand, and Canada.
All right. The BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney, Australia, talking about the comprehensive agreement for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Phil, thank you.
Thanks, David.
General Motors' summer results are due today. We know sales were down 10% year on year. Also, tariffs are driving up costs for car and truck companies. Longer term, GM is placing a huge bet on electric cars. In fact, GM has just called for a national zero-emission vehicle program for the U.S. Here's Marketplace's Ben Bradford.
The 2006 documentary, Who Killed the Electric Car, answered its title question, in part, this way.
The murder was committed by the General Motors Company.
These days, America's largest automaker has a very different tune, with plans to roll out 20 all-electric models over the next 5 years. Navigant Research automotive analyst Sam Abul-Samad says GM's proposing federal rules to ensure demand.
Having put, you know, billions of dollars into this technology, they want to make sure that they actually have a market.
So GM's plan would call for automakers to sell a minimum number of zero-emission vehicles. Some environmental groups are skeptical. Dave Reichmuth of the Union of Concerned Scientists says the proposal would actually weaken existing state programs.
It's a shiny thing to put out there that distracts from the fact that they are calling for a rollback of the vehicle emission standards.
Automakers are calling for a rollback of Obama-era tailpipe rules because, despite the future focus on electric cars, gas-powered trucks and SUVs remain bestsellers. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Let's check markets. The FTSE in London is up 1.5%. Here, S&P futures are up 0.6%. The NASDAQ future up 1%. Facebook stock is up more than 3% pre-market. Profits were higher than expected, while revenues missed the bar slightly. Up for our daily e-newsletter by October 31st, and you could be in for a Halloween treat. We're giving away 10 Marketplace treat bags filled with some great swag, including the coffee mug that I helped design. I thought it was a great line. They listened to me. Subscribe today at marketplace.org for your chance to win, and good luck.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next,
we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Yesterday, we spoke to the co-author of a new book called Trumponomics about tax cuts and the deficit. Stephen Moore gets to advise President Trump face-to-face, and as you may have heard, he is a fan of the Republican tax plan. Well, today, a different view. Felicia Wong is CEO of the liberal-leaning Roosevelt Institute. She's just been going through a big bipartisan survey of 6,000 voters and finds they are generally not supportive of what Congress and the president did with the tax system. Ms. Wong, thanks for joining us.
Hi, David. Nice to be here.
Marketplace, we did our own polling on a lot of things, economic anxiety, but also about the tax overhaul, and found that a lot of people, more than 40% of Americans, report they don't understand the new tax law, and more than half think it doesn't impact them personally, which implies they don't think they're saving money off of it. Does that line up with your findings?
The overall finding of this voter study group poll really shows that over time, Americans' views on taxation have really changed. We have had this idea in politics for a long time that Americans love tax cuts, when actually, I think Americans are now starting to wonder whether that's really the best thing for the economy. I think people's views are really evolving.
Sometimes what taxes pay for are public goods that people may appreciate.
One of the most interesting findings of this poll is that it is very clear, actually, that Americans know what they want out of their tax system. They want a tax system that does not cause huge deficits. They want a tax system that can actually spur economic growth. And they actually want taxes that are lower on the middle class and on lower income people. And they are perfectly fine with raising taxes on the wealthy. And they're even really considering, you know, raising taxes on corporations.
By the way, Americans left and right would like lower deficits. Don't tell that to the current crop in Washington. That will be dissonant with the direction of things there.
Well, one of the things that this very large poll shows is that most politicians who continue to push tax cuts are really out of touch with American voters.
Now, on the Democratic side, for instance, Kamala Harris, she's seems very interested in running for president. We'll see next time around. But she has a tax plan that brings relief to poorer Americans and the middle class. But conservative groups are not adoring that plan. They say it'll cost $2.8 trillion over 10 years.
Well, Senator Harris's plan is very interesting because it calls for stabilized or increasing taxes on the top, and it calls for more tax relief or more tax benefits for the middle class and the lower class. I do think that this question of what's it going to cost, this is important, but let's not forget that the Republican plan itself has driven deficits higher than they have been in at least 10 years. And the Republican plan itself, you know, is going to cost $1.5 trillion over 10 years and more than that over 20.
Felicia Wong is president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The October turbulence in the stock market means investors worldwide lost $5 trillion in wealth, at least on paper this month. If that sounds scary, well, it's Halloween. We'll also talk to a behavioral economist about why humans are prone to financial panic from time to time. It'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss it on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.